to improve the deterrence that we really need. We need to deter people from breaking into cars before they even decide to do it. And one of the ways is just to let them know they're being watched. So whatever we can do that, I would strongly encourage. And I think I see a lot of that happening in talking with Julian and some of the efforts that are going on there in SR Marmon. A little bit about me. I know a few of you in the room, but for those of you I have not met, my apologies. I would like to sincerely meet you, sincerely love to meet you in person. It just so happens that this weekend is my 30-year reunion up at the Air Force Academy. So it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since I graduated college, but it happens really quickly. And so I couldn't turn down the offer to get together with a great number of my old friends. That being said, I did want to take a few minutes out and meet with you here to talk about some of the questions that you have, and then just to introduce myself too. So for those of you I have not met, my name is Leland Bohannon. And as I've told many people on the doorstep, as I've walked around and knocked on doors, I'm not a New Mexico native. I actually grew up on the East Coast in Maryland, but spent 25 years of my career in the Air Force. So I've bounced around a little bit all over and have seen a lot of different places and a lot of different things, which has really given me a great appreciation for the diversity we have in our United States. Living in Texas, living in Delaware, even living overseas for a year when I was remote away from the family, has given me a great appreciation for our Constitution and for our way of life here in the United States. It's one of the reasons, though, that's also given me a desire to run for office. And one of the things that motivates me probably the most is really providing a good and maybe even a better future for New Mexico and the children in our state. I moved to New Mexico with my wife and my five kids about 5 years ago with a job. And so we've been here in Albuquerque and have been enjoying it, really love the nature and the natural beauty of our state. And it's been a really great opportunity for me to learn a lot more about New Mexico. That being said, just like any other place on the face of the planet, we have our issues, we have our problems. And because I wanted to provide a great place for my kids to grow up, it's given me motivation to run for state representative. And so as I walk and as I knock on doors and talk with folks, it's been a huge benefit to me to better understand a lot of the things that really concern you the most, the things that really matter to you and may drive your vote here in November. And so I do appreciate the opportunity from the Neighborhood Association to come and talk to you. I'm certainly open for questions, but I did have a few questions that were posed to me. And so as I looked at these, one of the things that I have come to realize in my career is that I'm not always the smartest guy in the room. And when that happens, I'm usually the first guy to go and reach out and talk to people who I think know better about what some of these answers could be. And I did that in this case. So I had the opportunity to talk a little bit with our city councilor, Luis Sanchez, and great conversation. And I've really had a great time getting to know Louis a little bit better. And when it comes to some of the resources that we're talking about here, when it comes to street resurfacing, when it comes to money from the state for our streets and for our infrastructure, I think those are important questions. And it's actually one that I've gotten a fair amount as I've walked around. And in talking with him, here's what I understand. And I think one of the things that we could work on together, and that is ensuring that there is money from the state to the city, because right now the city is tapped. According to Louis, I think our budget coffers for the city and for infrastructure are being exercised. There is a lot of effort to going into making things better for the streets and for the communities. I think more can be done. And one of the things that we can do, though, is to prioritize. the money that we have by highlighting maybe some of the worst streets that are really suffering in the neighborhood. And so what I'd like to do is I'd love to work with the Neighborhood Association and the president there and some of you to identify maybe some of the streets that are really struggling and maybe are the oldest and maybe in worst conditions. Because if you're like me, you kind of understand that every time you hit the pothole, well, that's going to be maybe just, you know, one more week earlier that you have to get something fixed on the car. And so sometimes some of the infrastructure that we have can drive an impact to our own wallets. And so are you ladies heading out? It was nice seeing you. Thank you. So I think that there's certainly a way forward when dealing with the issue of the streets. And I think it's certainly something that we could look into in terms of how to prioritize it, especially with the city council and where they would see the streets currently in their priority list. And maybe we can get that changed, especially if they're in particularly bad condition. So there are a number of other things that I have put on the back of the palm card that I think Julian may have had a chance to share with you all. And what I'd like to do now is, yep, there you go. That's the one. Thanks so much. Julian and I have talked. Phyllis, we've been over to your home and visited with some of the community members. I'd love to just really turn it back open to questions from anyone else in the crowd or anyone who might have questions about some of the issues that the Marmon neighborhood is facing that you would want a state representative to address, in addition to the ones that you've highlighted in the email that I received earlier.
No, when I'm at my house, and I thought I would have 30 people. That didn't, because a lot of my friends are across the river and stuff, but I should call him an introvert. And anyway, it's very nice, down to earth, just a regular guy. So I missed.
So I don't know. There, let us know if you can hear us, okay?
So I missed.
Can you hear Em?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Em.
Okay. So I missed the answer to, like, is there anything that can be done about. A concern was rose about night prowling, where kind of at night people walk around the neighborhood trying to break in, steal things or break into cars or something. And I just wonder, is there anything more than having more people on night shift? I mean, you could.
Yeah, that's one of the issues that we've been having is the very, very little low manpower that we have at APD. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's really, really a difficult thing to actually hire police. You know, we have a police chief who's front and center in the headlines every single day, and a lot of the people within out don't feel confident that he's doing the job. And not only that, the word's out, and it's really, really hard to come work for somebody when you are a police officer and you're yourself as a police officer are held to the highest standard possible by your administration, and then all of a sudden you're seeing an administrator that's not doing it. So
did you get that?
So it's hard to get more officers is what. And so what I'm talking about is it's hard to get more officers because right now we have very, very low numbers of police. And that's extremely concerning. I think every single person should be concerned about that.
And Dana was appointed the mayor, right?
That's correct.
So we have to get rid of the mayor and Dana. That's
Louis, that's a
Mr. Bohammed.
Excuse me, he's trying to say something.
Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to build on what Councillor Sanchez was saying there. It's a great point. And it's something that causes me to remember just my experience in the military. What I will tell you is if you have a good commander, a commander who is serious about training the folks in his or her squadron, a commander who instills in them trust and lets them know that they are trusted, a commander who is conscientiously building morale by communicating that trust, there's almost nothing you can't do. And by the way, people would flock to that squadron. They would want to serve in that particular unit because that particular unit has a lot of self-confidence, pride. They do the mission well. They have a really good leader. And I think one of the things that Louis is talking about is something that I'd like to write for an op-ed in the journal. And that is what I perceive to be a dearth of leadership. It's not that we don't have people in leadership positions. It's that we do not have people who are willing to, I would say, lead courageously, even in the face of opposition when it comes to some of these issues. And so whether you're talking about the chief of police or maybe it's the mayor, and I'm not really here to sling mud. That's not the point. The point would be if in those positions of leadership, you ensure that the rank and file, the brand new police officer, as well as the detective and the sergeant and the lieutenant and the commander, they all know that if they abide by the rules and if they do the things that you're asking them to do, you absolutely have their back. You absolutely will back them up in what they're doing to try and do what we need. And what I think what we're talking about here is simply enforcing the law, right? It's illegal to steal. You can't do that. You can't break into people's cars. You can't take things. And you can't buy drugs and do drugs on the street. We need to stop those things when we see them. And a lot of times we simply aren't. And then that gets to a point where and Louis, you could probably build on this, is even if the police officer is present, sees the crime, arrests the individual, takes them in, files the report, as they're filing the report, the laws that we have passed, the laws that the state legislature has passed, will allow that individual who was just apprehended to go right back out onto the street, maybe in the same day, maybe to be arrested for the very same crime in the same day. And I got to tell you, if I were a police officer, that'd really chap my hide. I mean, if I was trying to do my job, and then the judge is taking out an opportunity to catch and release that person right back out onto the street, I would be frustrated. I would go home frustrated because I would have to say that I tried to do my job today and it's all for naught. The guy's back out on the street and he's breaking into more people's cars this evening. And that might actually cause me to say, well, you know what? If they don't want my help, if they don't need my help, then I'm not going to be here to help. I'll go do something else. I'll do something with more significance.
I'm sorry to interrupt, ma'am, but we have only 8 minutes left available to this Zoom. So,
no, that's a good catch. Thank you for letting me know. I guess what I'm trying, I'll put it in a nutshell. I think that it goes back to what Louis was saying, and that is the police are trying to do, I think, what they think is right, and sometimes the cards are stacked against them, and that's frustrating.
I was going to tack on to that. It's easy to say it's the judge's fault after we arrest people, but you have to remember right now, was it 9 officers had to resign because
yes,
they were actually, I mean, they're corrupt cops. And
that does happen.
Leadership, having confidence in the patrol officers or in the officers, but then you've got officers that break the law themselves. So what are you supposed to do?
No, you are making a great point. And here's another aspect of leadership. And I saw it in real time when one of my officers got out of line, did something he shouldn't have done. And I'll tell you what, our commander came down and threw the book at him. It was so the consequences of him stepping out of line and breaking the rules and doing something that was contrary to the Uniform Code of Military Justice had severe consequences on that individual's career. And rightly so. To your point, no one is above the law, to include the police officers. And so if there are 125 of them who are taking bribes or kickbacks or whatever from a lawyer who is taking DWI cases, that absolutely has to stop. And so a chief of police is responsible then for taking care of those problems, corruption within the police department. Not saying that doesn't happen. I know it does. And so that must be addressed as well. That certainly doesn't help you improve your numbers, though. And I think that that's where we do really struggle, is you may have corruption within the ranks. And then you also have some good cops that are trying to do the best job they can and are getting really frustrated. So you're kind of burning the candle at both ends on that one. Very difficult problem.
Well, I guess we'll let you get back to your reunion. I hope no. It's a fun one.
It's always good to see some old faces and probably less hair and more weight and all that good stuff. But it's great to catch up with some old friends. I do appreciate. So yours is the first neighborhood association that deliberately reached out. And I really appreciate that, because it shows an effort to ensure that voters are informed. And that's the most important thing. If people can have the right information and make good decisions, frankly, I think there's a lot of hope for New Mexico. I really do. I mean, I think we can get good leadership in and good leaders into these positions to make good and wise decisions. And quite frankly, to grapple with, as I know Councilor Sanchez is, trying to grapple with these problems of crime. It's the number one thing that I hear on every door, almost every doorstep. Yeah, it's the crime, it's the homelessness, it's the fentanyl that's driving a lot of this. And it's all connected. So I do appreciate the time, and I wish you all well, and I look forward to getting back and maybe being in person for the next meeting.
So I'm sorry we didn't have a bigger turnout. There were different issues happening today. And we will post the audio online, and it will be widely available because it's not unusual. The last time we did a candidate forum, we had like over 100 downloads of the audios that we did for a candidate forum. So there's a good chance that your words will be heard more widely.
Great. And, you know, even if people don't reference the video, I know Phyllis is there. She'll get the word out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks
very much.
Okay. Y'all have a good night. Thanks so much. Thanks, Lee.
Yes.
But, you know, on the ballot, the show, I don't know anything to myself.
I just need to close the meeting. End the meeting.
Well, you got what we have is we have there's
just charter. End the meeting. Yeah.
There's two charter amendments that are on the city. That are proposed by the city council, and those two charter amendments deal with two different issues. The two issues are, one has to do with